welcome to this week's bonus episode of Toys on Tap. We bring on Verified Labs, who is kind of changing the game as it relates to Web3, blockchain, and vintage toys. John Heater is heading up this team, and he is headed into this collaboration with Pogs, yes, the toy from the 90s, and it's going to be amazing. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can follow us on all socials at Toys on Tap. If you want a little bit more, you can join the Patreon, patreon.com/toysontap. For $3 a month, you can get all episodes of the Nitty Gritty. It's extra time with your favorite artists. And if you want to support the show in a free way, wherever you get podcasts, like, subscribe, rate, review. It helps get this podcast into other people's hands. Now let's get to this episode of Toys on Tap.
I just talked to John this morning, so
I'm already on.
Oh, you're already.
I was up here 30 minutes ago. What are you talking about?
I thought you were in hair and makeup.
Well, yeah, and took 2 seconds because I'm already perfect.
Cut my mullet off. It's gone now. So
what? Why would you cut the mullet right before an interview? What are you doing?
It fell out.
It's good. I like all those toys behind you. Coming to a toy podcast with all those toys behind you. You did it, John. Not you. I'm sorry.
No, not me. No,
Kyler's on here too.
John's more sophisticated. We do have the same printer though, Mr. Heater. Yeah. Hey, Abraham. What up, dude?
What's going on?
Yeah.
What's up, Kyler?
I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Oh, you're gonna? Oh, yeah. I have some crazy ones behind me. I work usually with like the indie toy world, so I have like all kinds of random stuff behind me. John, did you just set up like one toy in the back to be like us?
Yeah, exactly. Nice. But it's a rare old Japanese figure alarm clock, so I feel like that kind of, you know, beats out like 20 Barbies.
Definitely.
He got you. He got you. I'm so pumped for this. So much of this is like my world's colliding. I grew up in the 90s. Pogs was like a part of my daily life at school. And then in 2004, John, of course, your movie came out and it was like middle school. I couldn't walk through campus without someone shouting some kind of quote from that movie. So it's like everything about my life is colliding in one interview right now.
And then it's over.
What about me? How do I remind you of your childhood? I want to hear.
I don't know. Maybe a father figure.
How about that? With a mustache, just like
yeah, Tom Selleck, baby, 80s.
Perfect. Know? Yeah. So let me tell you guys a little bit about Toys on Tap, and then I'm assuming why they reached out. So Toys on Tap is a podcast that usually interviews toy artists that have built toys throughout what we would say is like the heyday of toys. So I've had people like Scott Hensey on, who have sculpted all of the Ninja Turtle toys throughout the 90s. Right. I've had some of like, you have Barbies in the background. I've had people that have like worked with Barbie and worked with some of the major toy brands and then did this like covert culture hacking where they switched talk boxes between those and put them back in the stores, called the Barbie Liberation Organization. I work with a bunch of different artists that work with resin and all kinds of stuff. So Pogs kind of fits into this because I have a love for vintage toys as well. So I'm pumped to kind of hear what all this is about.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to, are we live?
It's recording, so yeah, okay. We can start right there if you'd like.
But he's only going to take the best bit, so it's going to be a very short podcast. No, I was just kidding.
Obviously. Yeah, 2-minute podcast, and we're good. Can you guys start, like, introduce all of yourselves, please. Tell people who you are, what we're doing here, what all this is going to be about.
Justin, here, you put it in perspective.
Okay, all right, so we're going to lean into why this is cool and perfect for Toys on Tap. We have a company, John and I have a company, with two other co-founders who are not joining us. and it's Verified Labs. And Verified Labs is a company that is focused in primarily on bringing opportunity to talent, so actors and actresses and musicians and athletes and brands, opportunities specifically in Web3 and the digital space and the blockchain. And so we're always looking for different ways to be creators and be creative, and whether that's, you know, developing and producing an animated series with non-traditional distribution, so it streams online as opposed to a major streamer, or creating and producing a feature film or TV shows with non-traditional elements, you know, included, that could be some sort of video game attached to it that exists in a metaverse somewhere, or, you know, some other platform outside of just traditional Hollywood. So we spend a lot of time there in that space, just supporting creators and being creative ourselves. John and I connected over a decade ago. I wrote a feature film that he starred in, and we kind of developed a close relationship from that. And we're always looking for opportunities to be creative and kind of opportunities to create starring vehicles for John. And I would say, you know, in the last 2.5 or 3 years, as this digital space started to kind of blow up for creators and artists, I went to John because John is an artist by trade and has been an artist his entire life. And a lot of people don't know this, but actually the artwork from Napoleon Dynamite, that's all John and his creation and his brilliance. So I connected with John close to 3 years ago and just said, hey, as an artist and a creator, you know, you should consider
Rotella Resale, your premier collectibles, toys, and novelty retailer. Find the best and hard-to-find diecast vehicles and action figures. Some of the most popular vinyl LPs, Zippo lighters, and comics. Support the best artists with our rock t-shirts and posters. You will find so much more at RotellaResale.com with free shipping on U.S. orders. Use promo code RADIO for 10% off your order. Visit RotellaResale.com. That is RotellaResale.com.
You know, creating something for the blockchain, you know, and reaching a new audience with your artwork. So just, you know, looking at it in more of a, from a digital approach. And so we discussed different options of kind of how we would come out the gate with that. And I'll let John get into it more, but, you know, he's always had a passion for hybridized animals and creatures. And, you know, we took a little bit of inspiration, not entirely, but a little bit of inspiration from the liger in Napoleon Dynamite, you know, the lion and the tiger hybridized creature. And we created something called a Tygon. And so it's, as it sounds, a tiger and a lion mixed. And it's crazy and fun. And we, John created a couple hundred drawings of them. We threw it in a generative and pumped out 7,777 and we sold it to collectors and enthusiasts and fans, and sold out, generated, you know, quite a bit of revenue, and then decided that we, you know, wanted to service that community and then take it to the next level and try to continue creating. So obviously the first part of this was John creating this incredible artwork around Tygons, which ultimately was called the Order of the Tygons, and now is called Tygonia Forever for Infinity. And the goal for us, without getting too far ahead of ourselves, is to create a comic that's next, then create an animated series, which will follow that. We're working with Kyler and his team at Pogs to create digital Tygon Pogs, which we'll be releasing here very soon, and continuing to collaborate with them and looking at opportunities, much like I'm sure you explore on Toys on Tap, is, you know, actually physical Pogs. And I know John and I have talked about this, you know, one day, hopefully, if we can, you know, do something with the IP and the source material and franchise it, and have the opportunity to have action figures based around Tygons and all those things, that's the goal. So that kind of brings us up to present day, and hopefully the shortest way possible.
That was the longest way possible. No, I think that was a good, that was a pretty good summary of the whole, I feel like we did our part. Now I just want to hear you like talk about Abraham, like talk about, you know, toys and stuff. Now, yeah, I got involved, you know, Justin pretty much said it all, but I think just to kind of tap into, you know, the subject matter at hand of what you're talking about and dealing with toys, you know, how I was obsessed. Everything you talked about, you know, interviewing some of these guys, the toy makers, I mean, Turtle Toys, I was obsessed with when I was, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. And just yesterday, because, you know, these Tygons, what we're trying to do really is, you know, it started out simply as this generative project for me to just draw some like fun hybridized creatures using my weird kind of aesthetic sensibilities with cool drawings mixed with that kind of retro going back to the early 90s style drawing that, you know, you'd see kids in your math class doing in the corner. so I it really started that way. And then when Justin said, dude, you know, you can make it as simple as this, you could also make a backstory and we could turn this into something. And so I, you know, started slow. And I mean, even to yesterday, I was just talking with my brother, who I've been trying to develop, you know, all like the lore behind the Tygons. And so much of our thinking was going back to a lot of our actual Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toys, talking about He-Man toys, and really like knowing the history of a lot of these cartoons. He-Man started as like, here's some cool toy ideas. Now we need a property and a cartoon to help sell these toys.
Yeah.
You know, so many of those old toys were that way. And I told my brother and I are always like, the way we want to design the world and these characters of Tygons is kind of from the mindset of two ways. It's kind of like, we're thinking about like, what would our, you know, seventh grade self be thinking? How would they make these? Coupled with what are the toys, even though we're not a toy company, we're not making these toys. Maybe we will, but the point is I want to make, you know, this property based around the ideas as if it was toys first. Mm-hmm. What are these characters' abilities? What sets them apart from some of these other things? And so, I mean, without having the physical toys yet, or possibly never, aside from having the Pogs, and Kyler can get into that, and I think it's a really cool collaboration we're doing there. But even if we don't have toys, it's really, that's the idea. You want to see this kind of cartoon or comic series that you could see, oh, I could easily see a toy line featuring the different Tygons and their different, you know, abilities and their different characteristics that each one has.
Yeah. Kyler, what you got for Pogs?
Yeah, dude. So I'm the exact same as you, massive fan. And I tell this way too often. I think John probably gets sick of hearing it. Maybe not, but was a huge fan of Napoleon Dynamite, and actually like loved to see new movies that I didn't know he was in. So I've just been a big fan of his work for a long time, and it's been great getting to know him and Justin. You know, the Pog brand is, you know, I was 30, I'm 37, so it was a key cornerstone for my development too. And getting to bring it back and getting to, you know, work with great collaborators to, you know, I guess reintroduce it to a new generation, as well as like bring a lot of our 200 million collectors into the digital space, has been really rewarding. But I get to play with Pogs all day, so it's you know, how could you go wrong? It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think this is kind of in a sweet spot because so many toy brands are coming back and they're swinging that pendulum back. Mattel just announced that they're re-releasing the Street Sharks for a 30th anniversary. And it's like one of the biggest toy lines of the like 90s, and they're re-releasing toys and all kinds of stuff. So this kind of fits well in that segment of re-release, because all these millennials are old enough to to now have millennial, like older adult money. And they're like, I need my stuff back. And so it's pretty cool to see.
That's exactly it. And I'm spending way too much money on collectibles myself, as you can see.
Abraham, you probably have a better, you know, like sense of this, probably studying it and keeping up with that more so. But again, I was just talking to my brother yesterday and how he went to this shop in LA that, you know, it's all old collectibles and toys and stuff. And we were reminiscing about these turtle, you know, the Ninja Turtle toys. And he's like, yeah, it's amazing. But of course, you know, they were kind of expensive and this and that. I was like, why is that? I mean, you mentioned Mattel bringing these back. It's like, why? There's so many of these toy companies that could easily, maybe they do I do see that there is kind of a re-release under the banner of like, oh, the retro line. The retro line, they charge more for it, but it's like, you could get a lot more. If they re-released, you know, all those Ninja Turtle toys, I swear they would do well. I mean, maybe not, because they don't have cartoons that are, you know, coupling with them. I don't know. Like, I just like, I would let, maybe I'm saying that because that's me. I'm the mid 40s guy, you know, who's like, all right, I would love to see those turtle toys re-released. I would buy them. My kids would probably totally love playing with them, even if they don't know the backstories. You just, something like the turtles, which was so collectible, that all the different crazy characters, but you could do that with, I mean, I go to conventions and I see those Transformer toys, and I'm always like, ooh, those are like some of my favorite toys when I was a kid, but they're pretty penny now. And I was like, you could, and all the new versions normally kind of, you know, stink, but maybe there's good lines. I just think you could bring, it would be so easy for these toy brands to bring these lines back.
Yeah,
I think an interesting comparison might be kind of like the Ford Bronco, right? Like, you have a ton of nostalgia and there's popularity around this 80s Ford Bronco that, like, I don't think I've ever met a woman or a man that does not love that truck. But then, you know, they decide to, you know, to produce and sell the new version, which doesn't look like the original. It's different, you know, so it's like, are people, you know, I mean, I see people driving them, so they're obviously buying them, but like, does it have the same effect or impact as the original? And, you know, I think, Abraham, for us, like, a big part of what we're about at Verified Labs, and I don't want to speak for Kyler, but I'm pretty sure he's the same, is like tapping into the nostalgia, right? Like, we're products of the 80s and the 90s, and like, we collected so many different toys, and we just love, like, revisiting what it was like to love those toys, you know, and to play with those toys. And it was really interesting. Over the holiday break, my girlfriend's kid, who just turned 13, I asked him, I was like, what do you want, you know, for Christmas? And he's like, I want collectibles and cards and anything that, you know, you can get me, like that. And so I went into one of my old boxes that I had in the attic for years, and I found a bunch of unopened 1986 Garbage Pail Kid boxes.
Heck yeah.
They weren't first series. There was a second series. There were some third series and a fourth series. And, you know, I looked them up, and they're in pretty good condition. So, you know, maybe it's a couple thousand bucks for a box, but I was like, but there's so much magic inside of this, you know? So I gave it to them, and I was like, you can open it if you want, like, anything that you want to sell, you can sell. I'm like, let's go 50-50 on it for sure. But he like tore into him immediately, because he was like, what is this all about? There was literally still the sticks of gum from 1986 inside of these packs.
Yuck.
And he immediately found some, you know, that were worth quite a bit of money. And all of a sudden, you know, a couple of weeks later, there's boxes of Garbage Pail Kids getting mailed to the house, because now he's obsessed with it, you know? And it's like, they're still producing Garbage Pail Kids today. And he's collecting those. So he's collecting some, you know, from the 80s when he can, and then some from, you know, today. And his collection is insane. It's like covering his entire room in his bedroom. So it's pretty cool to kind of see that happen cross-generationally. And I think I mentioned this, Kyler, to you. I went to a 90s party recently, a 90s themed brunch. And other than the 40s of High Life, they had snap bracelets and they had pogs everywhere. And this is actually, Kyler, before we started working with you, but I snatched up a bunch of the pogs just for myself, And I brought him home and I threw him out on the table. And again, my girlfriend's kid's like, what is that? I'm like, oh man, these things were so fire in the 90s. Like everyone had them, you know, we all collected them. And he's like, that's so cool. Next thing I know, I look over and he's looking them up online to like see what Pogs are all about and wanting to buy some and wanting to collect them. So I think there's something that's just naturally contagious, you know, at any age. For us, it's more nostalgia, but even for the younger generations, you know, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, like we're in this interesting space where Gen Z spends so much time in gaming, you know, in immersive experiences, that they're a lot of the collectibles that they're buying are digital. You know, they're buying skins for their avatars, they're buying weapons for their avatars, in-game weapons, all that stuff. So it's like kind of being at that cross section of creating digital art and collectibles, you know, with John, with Pogs, and then also pushing out, you know, physical collectibles when it's possible. It's like, I think that's kind of fun for every generation.
Yeah, you guys are in a weird, unique spot. Last year, millennials or people around like late 20s, mid 30s, and then upwards into like early 40s, like they were buying between a quarter and half of all toys that sold last year. And so it's like, we are a generation that is like clamoring for stuff like that. And John, like the Turtles, they're about halfway through re-releasing the old Turtle line. And it's like pretty crazy that they are able to still
toy store or
Target is like got a cool monopoly on Ninja Turtles, but it's like a crazy thing that people it's hard to describe. Like looking back at pictures of when I was a kid, if I see a toy in my hand, that was usually the toy that when I started this collecting journey and interview, like I'm going to get that toy. Yeah. Because there's a connection. And so to have millions of people that have this connection that are moving, like we're going to take all these toys with us and then reintroduce them. So I don't see this like industry dying out anytime soon. And then you have companies like Super 7 that are taking the G.I. Joe line and they're redoing them in like vintage sculpts. And it's crazy. They're a little more expensive, of course, but $20 for an action figure to make you feel something, that's not bad.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, it makes sense for the older generation because it's the collector vibe. It's the revisit our past. You're right. I probably would be like, I'll pay $20 for that turtle toy. I mean, the second you told me that, I'm already like, okay, I got to get to Target. These things up. If for anything, I mean, it really is for returning to the past because that was such a happy point of my childhood and, you know, the go-to toy. But I think about, you know, those are some well-made toys, really cool designs, and enough that I would hope that, you know, it's not just charging that much because kids of this day would, you know, enjoy just the same as toys now. I mean, they make cool toys now. I mean, for the longest time, I think a lot of people agreed that once, you know, in the 80s where it really soared in terms of like amazing toys. And then like in the 90s and 2000s when you saw like the dip of like, oh, everything's plastic now. Yes, it's probably cheaper and maybe environmentally better. I don't know. But toys just seemed like they got cheaper looking and lamer looking for a good stretch there. Maybe they, you know, spend more now. I'm a little bit out of the toy world in some ways only because my kids are, you know, graduating into video games and it's less about the toys. And I, you know, so I don't know. I need to pay maybe a little bit more attention to the kind of collectibles and toys. But, you know.
You know what we should do? We should strap a firecracker, an M80 to a G.I. Joe from the 80s and one that's current. And see which one holds up better, or we can do it with one of the turtle toys, because if the current one explodes everywhere, we know for sure it's being way more cheaply made, or maybe just better for the environment, less plastic.
We should just do that anyways. That's the kind of stuff we would do. Like, sorry, Cobra, you know, like, you know, Cobra Commander, your time has come.
It's so funny because, you know, when we kind of had this Barbie craze, you know, this comeback last year.
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 3.75 inch or 1/18. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsors Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on check. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSONTAP 10. Empire Blisters.
With the film and everything, they did a Barbie experience in Santa Monica, where they created like this incredible full life like Barbie house. There was like the camper van and her walk-in closet and all this stuff. And I took my girl's daughter there, and it was just so cool to like see. They had a bunch of the vintage toys. They had the original Barbie on display. And the display cases, they had all the original cars and Corvettes that she drove. And the one that I saw from the 90s took me immediately back. And I remembered putting Barbie and Ken in that car, you know, and throwing them down the stairs and filming it, you know, back on that like over the shoulder camcorders, you know. And this was the tragic ending to whatever story we were telling. I really want to go dig those up and find them. But like, the amount of torturous horror movies I think we made, you know, with these types of action figures too, is was pretty great. So we might need to do that as well.
Yeah. How did we? So if we're headed back into the design of the POG and in the partnership with POD, how did we settle on Tygon as a character and as this theme? Like when you started creating these images, how did this all come about? And then what was the immediate thought for the partnership with POG? Of all companies that you like, POG is a dope one to settle with. And that's so like, how did that happen?
Justin and Kyler can talk about like, you know, how we, you know, just kind of approached POG and stuff, you know, just with, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about it already, you know, about the design of the Tygon and, I can, you know, this can lead into, you know, jumping into that. But I think when, as Justin had mentioned before, that the POG, I'm sorry, the Tygon, they are very interchangeable because POG to me, the second I, you know, talked to Carlos, I was like, oh, we could easily make a Tygon POG, which is, it's a pig dog. Because Tygons is really all about, you know, it's obviously heavily inspired by many properties and toy lines and cartoons from the 80s and 90s that I was obsessed with. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because it was like mutated creatures. The idea is that these creatures, the Tygons, roam the universe and they love hybridizing different, putting different species together and mixing them and coming up with something, or, you know, adding, essentially mutating, but through their, you know, genetic technology that they are masters of. And again, they travel everywhere. They themselves being a mix of a tiger and a lion. And so when I, you know, Justin mentioned, like, we're going to start looking at working with POG and talking to Kyler, I was like, oh, that's a POG is, isn't that already a hybridization of a pig and a dog? I could easily see that. Or a penguin and a frog, whatever, you know, it could be. But Justin, you kind of sought them out, correct?
I mean, I think it was kind of serendipitous, to be honest. Kyler and I were kind of connected through, I mean, Kyler, was it because of Theta? I think it might have been, right? Ish, or I don't know. Why am I not remembering? I feel like we've known each other forever. That's probably why.
Yeah, I think we met because of Theta at ThetaCon, but I do remember when John entered the space and you guys, you know, made your first collectibles, saw some headlines, thought it was awesome. I've actually seen John do some talks about it. So I was really interested in like both the nostalgia aspect of what John's created, as well as the playfulness and like it, anything that can bring you back or give you that like school vibe. I think the collaboration between these two brands is like the epitome of what we're going for as far as what we're aiming at, right? It's legitimately is drawing a lot of these on notebook paper. Like when you see them, it'll make sense. But the theme is very much like schoolyard art. And to have these on the pogs is just super exciting. So not only is it great to have him in the arcade where the digital games will, you know, people will be able to compete with their pogs, but they'll be able to like discover the Tygon brand through playing these games and acquiring these collectibles. But then we'll also release a set of pogs. Mm. So I don't know if I've really even shown John and Justin this, but this is like a nice fresh sheet of pogs that we made for Solana Breakpoint event, and you'll see Tygon pogs come out just like this. So we'll end up making a sheet of these with John's art and some marketing stuff, and I think every holder will at least have the opportunity to get one, and then we'll probably make them available to folks around the world as well. But super exciting just to have when you see the art, it fits perfectly with the pog brand.
How do we, you said early on it's this merging of vintage with like Web 3, which is like, I'm always happy to see how we're going to move digital with some of our vintage stuff.
Yeah.
What does that look like as a practical thing to move? You said, I think you said 200 million collectors.
Yeah.
How do you move that into the digital space?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think it really is going to be about making it super easy to collect and to compete in digital experiences the same way that you did on the playground. You know, we've actually brought some of like our 90s pogs and attached them with different like technology. Let me see, I'm on this Twitter thing. So you can tap it to your phone. This is probably too much information. But when I tap it to the phone, it brings up the actual NFT that it was made from, like, so now it's digitally linked. And so we can do two things. We can create digital collectibles, which now we'll make physical collectibles with for the Tygons. We can make physical collectibles that you have to get in order to get a digital collectible, and just kind of bring that online, that experience online, bring the playground to, you know, kind of the whole globe. Now you're competing against people all around the world, and just kind of have that sense of childhood where you're playing games of your past and having some fun collecting. So it's actually a pretty simple transition. Whereas like a lot of Web3 requires a tremendous amount of education to try and get people comfortable with this. Just explaining that they're just going to be collecting pogs digitally and competing digitally, it's a lot easier, I think, step for them to make.
That's awesome.
Abraham, also, like, there's something kind of interesting that we're seeing happen. A very popular toy or stuffed animal right now for kids, it's called Squishmallows. I don't know if you've heard of these, but they're, you know, basically just like the stuffed animals that we collected, just a little bit different in their squishiness. Yeah.
And you know why they're different? Because my daughter wants to collect them. And I'm like, oh, cool. If you didn't make them as big as a house, you're supposed to like collect them. But they're gigantic pillows. And it's like filling her room. And I was like, there's no more room for anything else. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I trust me. I see it firsthand as well. There's a particular brand of Squishmallow called Pudgy Penguins, and if you've heard of these,
yeah,
and you know what they're doing, which is interesting to me. And again, I don't know a lot about it, but I think the creator and founder was on a panel at this conference that Kyler and I were just at, and he was talking about the fact that, you know, these are all going to be are either available or going to be available, you know, in Walmart primarily. And when you buy this Squishmallow or this Pudgy Penguin and you take it home, you can just have it as, you know, this gigantic pillow if you want. Otherwise, there's a tag on it that has an NFC chip. And just very much like Kyler just did, if you scan it with your phone, like you would a QR code, then your Pudgy Penguin shows up. And you have the digital version of it as well. Mm. And that's a digital version that you can play with, that you can collect accessories, you know, and wearables for, that you can potentially sell. And it's just a way of kind of having both the physical and the digital version. And I think, you know, when you look at Gen Z and Gen Alpha who do spend so much time in immersive experiences and games. It's like, it's just that added element. And you know, maybe, I don't know what the crossover rate is. You know, there might not be a ton of kids who are like, yeah, let me scan this and, you know, have the digital version too, but there might be a lot of interest there as well. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, I think. But going back to your original question, it was just like, partnering, you know, and collaborating with Pog was a no-brainer for us. Like, again, like John and I, we just love having fun in the space. You know, we love anything that's going to take us back to the feeling of being kids. And like what Kyler is accomplishing at Pogs is just pretty incredible, you know, in bringing it back, you know, for generations that were aware of it and future generations that weren't. And we just wanted to be a part of that and tap into the nostalgia. And again, like we are very much, you know, a brand that exists in 2024, but we still want to have that feel of like, you know, it's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the He-Mans, the Thundercats, those vibes that like got us excited. And we hope to like, you know, make kids these days excited about it too. So Pog's great. We're super excited about a bright future.
I'm really interested in the idea of collecting and having your collection always with you. I mean, though I love having this behind me, that's awesome. Being able to say like, oh no, it's on my phone. Like, look at all the things I have. There's something that's better, and it puts Millennial Z Alpha all on the same playing field. Right now it's imbalanced because we grew up with these, so they're never going to catch up to what we know about these toys. They're never going to catch up. But there is something that's really cool about starting over and having something that we can all have in common so that we can collect together. I work with teenagers, and the amount of them that don't collect but then spend the most time in the digital space is crazy. And so I think that this is a solid move.
I'll tell you what, like, you know, when I went through this old box of collectibles of mine, you know, that was in the attic, that had been sitting there. I mean, those Garbage Pail Kids had been sitting there basically from when I bought them, which would have been probably in the early 90s. And they were just in the dark, and they couldn't be enjoyed, and they weren't being played with, you know? And it's like, I have action figures in there and all that stuff too. And it's like, it's sad because a lot of times that happens to collections, unless you are the collector that has everything on display, but still people have to come to your house to see that collection. Where I agree with you. I mean, I think there's something nice about being able to access it both ways. You know, like if I could have, you know, all of the Garbage Pail Kids that I had digitized so that they're on my, like, there'd just be something that was rad about that. I still want to hold that 1980s, like, smell the gum.
Yeah.
the you know, like half biodegraded gum on it. But you know, I agree with you. I think there's something to be said about having that digital collectible as well.
I take great pride in my music collection. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. I mean, I used to collect it. It really started when I was like early 2000s when they were digitizing. So I started at the very beginning of digital media. And to this day, you know, I still collect music, but it's great that, I mean, I don't know what I would do without it being able to have the entire collection on my phone at all times in the cloud. And so I agree. Like, of course, I'm much more of a physical, visceral person who wants to have the tangible object. But as a collector, I've never been a collector. It's more like, well, it's fun to have those things. But if I were to collect anything, yeah, digital almost makes sense, because it's like, then you not only this idea of ownership with NFT and that blockchain technology of being able to say, I own it, this is mine, and being able to take it wherever you go. So you can show it off and you can kind of like, whatever it is, you just know it's always with, it's part of it. Probably the collectors, you know, like, maybe that's why so many collectors I meet nowadays are these, you know, big, chubby, sweaty dudes who live at home because they don't want to leave it.
Yeah.
Like, well, if I can't take it with me, then I'm not going anywhere. They just sit at home and stare at their collection. And they're like, you know, it's like all these collectors, they don't want it digital. Or they, you know, they started out that way. This is a theory of mine, but I think it's a very good theory.
Yeah, we're going to clip that. So much. Yeah, we're going to clip that and just say, it's only the big sweaty guys.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet.
Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
What's interesting too is the desire to move forward into animation and comic books and action figures. All three work seamlessly with vintage toys. All three work seamlessly with toys. I think what's cool about with Toys on Tap, like, it's opened up that side of manufacturing, and I work with 3D sculptors that do toys, or I work with comic book artists that are constantly drawing and stuff. And so it's insane to see how well all those merge. So when you think about this as a whole, this project, what does it look like to, like, timelines, or what does it look like to move into those spaces with the Tygon as you are releasing those POG sheets? Are going to be amazing. So as you're, like, releasing those, and then also want to do a comic book or a show, like, what does that look like for the company as a whole?
Yeah. So, you know, the first step here is our collaboration with POG. So we're going to be releasing a bunch of these digital collectibles. Kyler, I think on the 22nd. Yeah. Friday the 22nd, is that the...
I need to be probably, like, dragged out and beaten by John and Justin, because we built this new launch pad and it's taken longer than we were expecting to get it deployed. But as soon as the launch pad is ready, which it's very close, you'll be able to log in with your email, you'll be able to use your credit card and purchase digital collectibles, and you won't be responsible for using your hot wallet, your cold wallet, or all these storage things. It'll be a very seamless transition for you to jump on and to get these collectibles. So very soon, we're aiming for the 22nd. The dev team is hard at work, and I'm getting updates as we're talking, so it's coming together.
We want to make sure that we get it right, so, you know, we're taking our time with it, which I think is the right approach. But, you know, this is kind of the first step. A lot of what we're doing here is a little bit more of an independent approach to producing, right? Like, it's you're not necessarily going to get the support of traditional Hollywood on some of these types of creations, right? Because most animation, if you look at animation, it's coming from you know, DreamWorks, or it's coming from Warner Brothers or Disney or Pixar. And so unless you're in bed with them, then you have to do it on an independent level. And so for us, in terms of financing it, we're creating this digital, you know, collection with POGs and hoping to generate enough revenue through that and build. I mean, we already have a strong community. Like, POG has a crazy, crazy strong community of supporters that are, you know, that love POG Digital and POGs in general. And then, you know, we've built a really strong community on Discord for the Tygons that we know they're going to come out and support. Our initial drop of our collectibles was on the Theta network on Theta Drop. And so we know that community is probably going to come out and support. So, you know, if this is something where we do get that support and we sell out, then we should generate enough money to initially at least finance the comic book. We're working with Rob Feldman from Rocket Ship, who also has a relationship with Theta, and he's going to, you know, work with us to get the full story together and then put together at least the pilot comic. But, you know, we'll be looking at a full season for the comic, as well as a full season for the animated series. So once we have the comic, which is kind of a proof of concept, then, you know, we'll probably look at another collaboration with POG around, you know, more collectibles, maybe the comic book being a part of that. If it's a POG presents, Verified Labs presents comic book, just so we can monetize again and utilize the funds that we're generating to then finance the animated series. As you know, animation is not inexpensive to produce. Yeah. Now I know things are changing a lot with technology and these large language models and these text prompts. You know, if you've seen OpenAI's Sora, or if you're familiar with Runway or Midjourney, like, it is making it much more accessible. It's kind of leveling the playing field. You don't have to be a major studio or production company or animation studio to produce these, but there still is cost involved for, you know, the production, for getting actors and actresses in the, you know, studio to record the voices, all of those things that go into it. So, but that will be the next step. Once we generate enough revenue to finance it, then we're going to finance that first episode of the pilot for Tygons in collaboration with POG. And, you know, hopefully by that point, you know, we've built a community of people who are really into it and want to see it, you know, become a full series. And I think at that point, you know, we ideally is that we create this again. A lot of these terms in the future aren't going to matter. They're just going to be seamless, but it's like, we talk about the blockchain just because it's a place where artists and creators can do things independently and monetize and build communities outside of the studio system. So I'm hoping that once we get to that place, there's the ceiling isn't very high right now of being able to generate enough funds and to really finance these bigger projects. So, you know, probably blue sky or best opportunity is once we get to that place and you have, you know, entities like Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or anyone who is interested in producing animated series, you catch their eye and you hope that you're able to get them interested in traditional distribution for you. Because at that point, if you get traditional distribution, then you're probably able to reach a much bigger audience and build your brand out further. And if it, you know, if Tygons were to become a movie franchise or the animated series for TV, then like we said, the sky's the limit. If you have enough fans and enough people excited about it, then we make a ton of physical POGs, right? Then we make a ton of physical action figures and all that. So that's kind of our roadmap. We're all super just excited about it and optimistic. So we hope that we can get there. It'll be a process, but those are kind of the steps of achieving the things that we want to.
I'll pay for it out of my pocket if I have to get the comic book and this trailer made, this or the pilot made. I want to see what John has in store for this story. I really, really am super excited to see how it all comes together. And right now we just have the art, but when the voices come, when the adventures come, when everything starts to really like come together, I think it'll jump off the page and it really will be pretty captivating.
That's incredible. I'm excited to see this all come together. John, as you think about like your past and how you've loved this kind of like these toys and all these things, and now you see that your creation could now become all the things that you grew up with, what does that kind of feel like? What does that look like in your own brain of like, I could be, like you're now entering the sphere of some of these big toy creators or big comic creators?
Wow, we'll see about that. All I know is that I feel like, oh, is this how long it takes to get something made? I came up with some of these ideas in the early 90s, and now I'm coming to fruition. I guess I just know, like, anything's possible, just give it 4 decades after that. No, I think the takeaway from this so far and what I'm really looking forward is when we started on this, I mean, I'm going to say on this journey with the Tygons and kind of doing these NFT projects, it really just kind of opened up the floodgates of going into my past and resurrecting a lot of these, you know, it's a mix of a lot of these ideas I either had or books I wrote when I was a kid, illustrations, I had comic book ideas, all these things I'm trying to blend together and bring these back and kind of all in one world. The lore behind the Tygons really opens it up for like anything can kind of happen, really. And so seeing, and what's great is like, I mean, just to give you a hint at some of the stuff when I was originally coming up with the lore behind the Tygons, and I was just like, it was just crazy ideas. Like one was like, oh, out there there's, they see Tygons, and it really just came from drawing. You know, everything starts with what comes out of my head first when I let, or it's not even, it's my hand brain, I call it. It's like, you just start drawing and something comes out of your hand. You're like, well, wait, I didn't even think of this. It just came up. And one of the Tygons we created had a werewolf head. And I was like, oh, there's got to be like a werewolf planet that these Tygons have visited that's just werewolves. And I'm already, I told like Justin, I was like, I want to do a whole series about that. I don't think, like, yeah, they go by, but then just there's a whole spinoff series about this planet of werewolves. And like, what's it like to live on a planet of werewolves? You know, you got no victims. And he's just like, well, werewolves can't eat werewolves. It's just a bunch of skinny, docile, like werewolves. I don't know what it is, but that's just, you know, that's kind of a little bit of the world I'm working in. And I love it.
I'm excited to see this. I mean, every year, as far as like artists and collectors, we all try to like migrate to this thing called DesignerCon. And usually artists, it's all physical stuff. So to see something like this that could bring the vintage and start bringing that digital into there might open that up for like every artist to start dabbling in that, which kind of moves us all that direction. So, I mean, to be pioneers in moving vintage toys over to this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
One of the things that we did for our community is we all met up. It feels like yesterday, but it's been a few months now in Austin, Texas. And a lot of the collectors of Tygons, they chose their favorite Tygon that they own digitally and they let us know. And we printed them up with some pretty high production value, and John signed all of them and we gave them out, and people were super excited to have that physical version of it too, you know, that they could take home and frame and hang on their wall and everything. So I thought that was kind of cool. And, you know, to John's point, like, I think there's so much for us as creators that we just want to explore and have fun with. And, you know, a full series about a werewolf planet, or, you know, it's like we talk about these different characters that John and his brother have come up with from hybridized animals like crocovarks, which are crocodiles and aardvarks, to bunnities, which are bunnies and manatees hybridized, which is like the cutest thing you've ever seen. I can't wait to see, you know, where John's creative intuition takes him, you know, in the story and the lore and the world. And I think, you know, if we're lucky enough to continue to engage communities and generate some revenue to finance that, then that is what we're trying to do. That is the goal, you know? So again, it's to bring fun stories like this to the world that I think hopefully a lot of different generations can enjoy for different reasons. And the last thing I'll say about it too, is like, Kyler kind of talked a bit about the Pog Arcade, which is so cool. Like being able to take our Tygon Pogs to the arcade and battle it out, you know, battle royale style with you know, other collectors, I think will be great. And you know, we're looking at different avenues too, even where you know, the Tygons can exist in kind of games. And it's like we actually built an entire Tygon game in the sandbox metaverse called Tygonia Forever for Infinity, where you can go run around. It's a lot of it is kind of like these different missions that you go on, but there is battling as well. There's, you know, there's these scavenger hunts and all this different stuff. So it's pretty fun. I mean, you know, sandbox metaverse is all built on voxels, so it feels like you're playing an Atari game, you know, yeah, from the 80s. So it was kind of our vibe. So, you know, we're just constantly looking for that kind of is in line with what we're trying to accomplish. And it's, I think the sky's the limit. It's pretty fun.
That's awesome. As we start to close this out, are there some last thoughts that you want people to know about Verified or about Pogs and what's coming with Pogs, or John, anything that you got going in your life? You guys, like, we'll close this out with these last thoughts on all these things.
I think that, you know, this idea of digital collectibles can be a little bit polarizing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think some people can hear the word NFT or blockchain or cryptocurrency and can immediately think that it's, you know, potentially a scam or there's a rug pull. And I think in a lot of cases that is accurate. You know, but if you look at kind of what NFTs are, it's so much more than just what it was initially, you know, and I think I mean, most of those have gone away. Only like less than 1% of those have survived. The ones that are truly, you know, that have a roadmap and are engaging a community that are actually trying to do things, I think, are the good players. But I would just say for anyone who's interested, you know, that is used to collecting, you know, physical collectibles, give yourself the chance or be open to, I challenge you to collect something digitally and see how that fits and works for you. And if it doesn't, then cool, don't do it again. But if for some reason, you know, it makes sense, because I feel like a lot of this is more almost like education, right? Like you hate something until you know about it or you kind of understand it a bit more. And I just feel like I would just say in closing for me, you know, if you're a fan of John's or if you're a fan of Pogs or if you're a fan of 80s and 90s toys, either physical or in this case digital, like come out and check it out and like just at least take a look. Like you don't need to buy anything. Just like take a look. If something speaks to you, like hang out with us. Like we have a group of people that are pretty fun. We're trying to do fun stuff. And like if you get in now, it's the infancy stages. You know, maybe someday we have a big movie franchise and you're like, I remember when I used to collect digital Tygons on Pog in the 2024s. You know, maybe we'll all be doing that one day.
Awesome.
Are you ready for four more decades, John?
No, that's the next idea. We're fun. Any idea I come up with now, I just gotta like, all right, so how is this gonna be attractive in 40 years? Okay. You know, I mean, you know, just for me, it's I'm just excited to see, you know, where this goes. And it is really is. It's kind of like everything is it's just hand-brained action. You know, it's kind of like the stuff I draw, but also the things we come up with. And like, we don't know exactly what that roadmap, and we definitely have some wants. I can't wait to try to turn this into a comic book. And ideally, you know, I think about stories. I'm still a filmmaker at heart. I can't wait to see what kind of, you know, cartoons or whatever, you know. I mean, my big, like, we're going to have action, you know, live action, special effects versions of this. That will be 40 years from now. That will be Michael Bay's grandson directing these. I'm just excited. I love getting into it, and I'm excited to see what happens.
And I would say, you know, the digital aspect really provides this community. And one of the best things about collecting is getting to build and getting to relate to other folks in that community who collect. And so the digital side, you get to really like build relationships in Discord and on Twitter. And, you know, it really does become something much more than just having an asset, whether it's physical or whether it's digital, right? And kind of getting to be a part of pushing a movement forward or getting to create something as a crew, you know, by collecting in this digital space, you are absolutely helping to produce the next, you know, thing. And so the communities are even tighter than just the excitement of getting a toy, right? Like, and so if you are interested in exploring digital collectibles, this is one of the best places to start. You know, I think one of my biggest claim to fame right now is that I have John Heater's phone number through all of this. I absolutely love to see his name come up on my phone. It's like holy shit, like things are happening. So we getting to meet folks through the digital community is been a really special part of all of this. So jump in and get your feet wet with Tygons, grab some Pogs, relive your nostalgia days, like see what we're coming up with, get some vintage, like some brand new Pogs that the last collections we released were with like Marvel and the French national soccer team for the UEFA Cup, with Kylian Mbappe and like some other big names. So I think this is going to be the perfect avenue for people to jump in. It will reinvigorate your childhood and it'll give you some fun things to do inside the digital arcade.
That's awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on Toys on Tap. It's been such a pleasure talking to you guys and like sharing this joy for vintage toys and collectibles and stuff.